powerful since the 1970s. As I mentioned, our income levels have doubled, minimum wage up by 50%, we're living longer, child mortality has dropped, and our healthcare is better. Now, this from a report by the New Zealand Initiative, which says the proportion of working age people on sickness or invalid benefits is now six times greater than it was in the 1970s. In the 70s, 2% of the population was on a benefit. That figure now sits at 10%. Well, why is that? Mike O'Brien is an Associate Professor in Counselling, Human Resources, Human Services and Social Work at the University of Auckland. Hello to you, Professor.
Good morning, Rachel.
That's a big percentage rise in the number of people reliant on benefits. Why is that?
Well, there are a series of issues. If you go back to the 1970s, a whole range of social and economic changes, the shift changes in the nature of employment in terms of the numbers, the reduction in full-time work and the much more casual nature of work. The second thing I think is that we've got levels of child poverty now that we have that are much higher than they were then, and that's simply about the way, or predominantly about the way in which we distribute income. One of the other significant stats that was out this week was that the share of income for wage and salary earners is, as a proportion of the total national distribution, has fallen significantly over the last 30 years.
And is that because of political policy?
That's a result of the way it is. It's a result of political and economic shifts, not just political, it's economic shifts as well, in terms of the way, in terms of changes of labour markets, changes in the way in which reduction in awards supports for workers and so on. The third thing is to focus particularly on sickness and invalid benefits, which is the specific that you mentioned. One of the really significant changes, I guess, is that in the large, significant numbers of people who in the 70s, 80s, and the early 90s were living in institutions and now living in community services, community care of one kind or another, who are now receiving supported living payments, who simply were supported in institutional care at that time. So just to kind of take a sort of a broad sweep of that kind, simply say that as the initiative has done, masks a whole range of social and economic changes that have gone on.
And led to our reliance on welfare. In terms of poverty, in terms of inequality, and I know increasingly through your career you've had to focus more on this, the government says it will lift children and lift people out of poverty and inequality. What is unclear, certainly to me at the moment, is how you define, or how the government will define, poverty.
Well, that's a really interesting question. There's a lot of work going on around that at the moment. Broadly speaking, there are two ways in which we measure poverty, particularly in relation to child poverty. One is in terms of thinking about incomes in relation to the distribution proportions of median income. The other is looking at material hardship in terms of the living standards of families. And so, any good assessment of that will need to take in a range of different kinds of measures. Then, alongside those, there's the other important piece, is not just the numbers, but how far below poverty lines people are living. So that's what we call the poverty depth, and then the severity. How long are people living in poverty? So there's a mix of figures that have to come together, and that's the piece of work that's being done at the moment.
In front of the government. All right, Mike O'Brien, appreciate your analysis. Associate Professor of Counselling, Human Services and Social Work at the University of Auckland.